Well, if you need to move around and stay warm, please do that. Just stay with me today. We have a very significant message this morning, and I am thankful you're here on this very frigid Mobilian morning. Kind of like we're watching the Green Bay Packers game without the snow. But that brings up a sore point for a lot of us in this room. This morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to launch. Again, we're not preaching right now through Exodus. We will be returning to Exodus soon. But we're doing a little mini-series on We Speak Jesus here at Crawford Baptist Church. And what a time these weeks have been. Brother Kenneth kicked us off and did a great job the first Sunday of the month. And I've been privileged to preach the last two Sundays and look forward to again, of course, today. Next Sunday, we have baptism. It's going to be a great time. We have at least two that are ready to be baptized as believers in Jesus Christ. And so we will be having that next Sunday morning. Also, a membership class is next Sunday, immediately following morning worship. We'll be providing lunch for you and your family. And so I want to invite you, if you have been at Crawford for a while and you're interested in membership or talking about Christ and salvation or baptism as a Christian, we invite you to speak to one of our pastors today before you leave. And we have a sign-up sheet there on the Connect table out back in the lobby. We'd love for you to sign you and your family up for a lunch next Sunday that we'll provide for you free of charge. And it's not a long meeting, but it will answer questions about the philosophy of our church and how we seek to engage in ministry. And this message will help you a lot with that today as well, as a matter of fact. But we would love to have you next Sunday for our membership class. We do those periodically. And we've had some people that have actually like walked forward and indicated interest in membership. And we want to get you through the membership class and get us all on the same page. That'll be next Sunday, immediately following our worship time together. This morning I want to read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and following. And then I will have a season of prayer before we begin to preach this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Would you bow with me as we pray this morning? Our Father in heaven, we do come before your holy throne this morning as we have already done through prayer, through singing, through worship. Lord, I was thinking of the last song. There's a big part there that's just like a prayer. Lord, that we are going to speak Jesus from the mountains and speak Jesus in the streets. But Lord, we plead with you to come and to break every stronghold. Lord, to heal every affliction and set prisoners free. And we speak Jesus to our families, praying that, Lord, we would be saved and that we would, Lord, be sanctified as Christians and look to Christ and repent of our sins, even as believers. And, Lord, knowing that none are perfect, none, there is none good, no, not one, none are righteous. But, Lord, it's only through Christ. Our hope is in Christ. He is our strength, our fortress. He's our strong tower. He's conquering King. He's merciful Savior. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Father, we bow before you and the Lord Jesus. There's Revelation 5 says, and we have sung this morning, and we worship you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God is triune. And we praise you, Father, and we praise you, Son, and we praise you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would fill our hearts, Father, with passion for you and your Son, Jesus. We pray that our minds would be illumined, that you would help us think and focus this cold morning, that you would help us to be able to, Lord, see into Scripture and to see the beauty of Christ and the truth of Christ, that we'll be transformed by this truth. I pray, Father, that you would help us here in this place, Lord, to proclaim the authority of God's word without apology. I pray, Father, that we would also lift high the name of Jesus through worship, that we would firmly believe in the power of prayer, and that we would share the good news of Jesus with others. Lord, these are the four pillars that we believe that you would have us build upon the foundation of Christ as a church. So I pray this morning you'll help me, Lord, as I endeavor to preach your truth. I do pray today for Brother Ed Lacey, that you would touch his body there in the hospital as he's been struggling to get his oxygen levels back into the 90s. Please, oh God, help him, Miss Diane. I pray for Miss Elizabeth McCall and Diane McCall, Lord, and their family today. Beth was singing, and I thought about those who are already singing that song in the presence of the Lord. I thought about those that we have lost in recent days. Pray for Miss Linda Kay and her family. Pray for Mr. Manley, who's now not only lost a sister that was buried last week, has lost a brother this week. That, Lord, you'll comfort him and that family. Father, for all those that are hurting and sick today, Lord, there are many at the university where I teach. There are many in the schools where our children go. There are just many in our community, and even our faith family have been battling COVID. Lord, I pray for healing for them, strengthening. And Father, I pray for healing for your church, for your people. I pray, God, that we wouldn't hide our light under a bushel, that, Lord, that we would lift it up to shine brightly in this lost world. I pray, Father, you'd help us to get our salt out of the salt shaker. Lord, to be an impact for the gospel, to help prevent the spread of sin in our culture, and yet, Lord, to point the light of Christ to those who are spiritually blind, that they might see by God's grace. And so, Lord, this morning we commit this time, Lord, the act of preaching to you, the act of hearing and obeying. Lord, help us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, again, remember, next week we've got some baptisms, which are always awesome. We have membership class for those who are interested in membership at Crawford Baptist Church. And we also have today at 4 o'clock, our ladies' book club study will begin here in the auditorium. And also our men will be gathering in the banquet room off our gym. And we hope that you will come today for these groups. There is child care provided for age birth through like 2 or 3. And then the other children, they manage. And we keep an eye and ear out for them, but they do fine. And so, but we hope that you will not be deterred and you will come for our introductory sessions in our spring semester of Entrust Institute for our men and for the Ladies Book Club for our women and young ladies. By the way, this book is excellent for teenagers, girls to come. I Want to Be a Woman? Ah. Jason had a great picture of that he sent me. I don't think he put it on Facebook from Wednesday night a few weeks ago when I was advertising. Let Me Be a Woman is the name of the book. And I make a hideous picture under that caption. But anyway, that's the title of their book, Let Me Be a Woman by Elizabeth Elliot. That name may ring bells for you. She was, of course, Jim Elliot's wife, who was martyred back in 1958 trying to reach the Alcaenians. She later went into that village and helped translate scripture into their language and saw that village pretty much converted to Christ. And so that was a glorious story. But it's a fabulous book the ladies are doing. And our men, we're going to begin discussing today J.I. Packer's book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And it's going to be a fabulous few-week study for us. And then we're going to move into Biblical Foundations for Baptist Churches for the rest of our semester this spring up through like May 15th or so, our last session together for the spring. So I just wanted to throw those out while hopefully your attention is high, because those are some important things for next week. And by the way, if you are trusting in Christ and have been saved but have never been baptized, we would encourage you to consider baptism and speak to a pastor today, and we can plan to get your baptism testimony or your testimony of conversion to Christ. We'll be videoing those this week, probably on Wednesday night, of Lindsay and Bryson. And so if you need believer baptism, we'd love to get your story, your conversion story recorded that we play when you're actually baptized. And we can certainly baptize more than two next Sunday. We'd love to do that as we speak and counsel with you. And then the membership class will follow for the luncheon and the meeting and the signing of the membership covenant in that membership class meeting. All right. This morning, again, we have read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A few weeks ago, I preached to you on the mission of Crawford Baptist Church. In fact, if you have a bulletin, it's on that front. It's on the front of the bulletin. We exist to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community on mission. And this is something that we said every member needs to memorize. We want to know why we exist. I was asking students in my Christian Worldview class this week, you know, why do you exist? Wanting them to think deeply about this, because each of us has been created by God, just as this church was birthed by God February 24th, 1957. You were born. We all have a birthday. And just as we have birthdays and we grow and we develop and we mature and we thrive and flourish for a while, and then we begin to get older and sicker and weak, And we have a time when we're going to leave this world and we're going to go into eternity, either into heaven or hell. So churches also have birthdays, and they have those years of growth and development and maturing and thriving and flourishing, hopefully. And then they have those years of waning and becoming smaller and weaker. And churches have life cycles, is what I'm trying to say. And so we have a limited time, Crawford Baptist Church, to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community on mission. Let's not waste the time the Lord grants us as a local church under the lordship of King Jesus. And so this is very, very significant to me. And so if the mission statement is our game plan, then the four pillars that I'm going to highlight for you today are the actual plays that we run during the game. Now, for some of you football fans, that will make sense. We have a game plan, and then we have four actual plays that are very successful when we do them. And that's what we want to emphasize as a church today. But you see, the foundation, Paul talks about this foundation, which is in, he came and he preached and he laid the foundation there in Corinth. And in verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so he is the foundation. He is the only true foundation for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the critical question. What are we building on this foundation? You know, when this church began back in 1957, prior to that, and coming from First Sims and the whole process, Jesus was being preached. Jesus was being taught. Jesus was being proclaimed. People were being converted. That is, they had repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're being born again, born from above, John chapter 3 language. And so they then submit themselves to the authority of a local church, to the pastors in that church, and they come and they submit themselves for believer baptism by immersion. They covenant by through the church covenant that we have had consistently since the church was founded, that we would be regular and faithful in attendance in the worship gatherings of the local church. There are many people who don't realize that, but that when you become a member, and the older covenant that had been here forever, the newer covenant that we have, the membership agreement that we have now, there are not that many changes in them. And we're to be faithful in gathering together when the church gathers together. We are a body. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have one Heavenly Father, God the Father. And it's important that we honor Him and worship Him and ascribe glory to Him. And so that foundation is Jesus, but there are people building on that foundation. Paul says it in verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, and that those are good things, then wood, hay, straw, those are temporal type things. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it'll be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, that's what I'm striving for. I have limited time. I'm 60 years old. All right? I don't know how much longer the Lord will have me with life, breath, a mind, the ability to walk, to get around, to do what I do now. It's starting to decline, I can tell you, at 60. I'm not as swift of foot and I'm not as swift of mind as I was when I was 40 or 50. You see, we all have a time span. And we need to maximize God's glory in the time that He gives us. So we are all, in a sense, building on the foundation of Christ as Christians. And as a church, that is what we are doing. But there's going to come the day of judgment when the Lord Jesus will evaluate what we've built on the foundation, which is Himself. You see, what we build on this foundation is very important. If we build with the gold, the silver, the precious stones, then that's going to survive Jesus' day of inspection, the day of examination, and it glorifies Him and it strengthens this church as we're doing those things. If we're using man-made strategies, or if we're using tactics and philosophies and worldviews that are contrary to Scripture, then that would be wood, hay, and stubble. There are many churches today who have been infiltrated with man-made ideologies and belief systems and worldviews, things and beliefs that are completely contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. If our ministry is built on gimmicks and human philosophy and things that tickle people's ears, then it will not last. Now thank God this church, beginning in 57, is still growing strong today. Could we be stronger? Absolutely. Absolutely. And my prayer is that we will be. But few churches go beyond 75 years of existence as local churches. And so we have much to be thankful for, and we have much to be vigilant about as the people called Crawford Baptist Church. But Jesus Christ is this true foundation for the church, and we want to build upon it. And I want to suggest four things. I'm calling them the four pillars. Four things we're going to raise up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It is God who blesses the four pillars, I would say. And I want to show you in Scripture these four pillars. So right now, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy in your New Testament. I'm going to take time and turn as you do. And it's right behind 1 Timothy if you're looking for it. 2 Timothy follows 1 Timothy. And we're going to look in chapter 3 and verse 16. And of course, this is very familiar Scripture. The memory verses that I picked for this week, many of you already know these memory verses, but it's good to review the memory verses that we do know. And also, if you do not know these memory verses, let me challenge you as pastor to commit these verses to your memory this week, along with your faith family. So Paul here is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Timothy's in a tough place. He's in hot water. He's in a place called Ephesus in Asia Minor. And he's a young man on top of everything else. And there are false teachers in the church in Ephesus, and they're spreading their false doctrine. Never stays contained. It's like cancer. It's going to break out. It's going to spread. If there isn't treatment, proper treatment, or even surgery may be required, then it will spread and render its ruinous effect in a human body or in a church body as well. And so Paul is writing to this young man in the faith, Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I have to be limited because we have some other ideas to think about today. Each of these merits its own sermon. But we're going to try to do it, the four pillars, all in one day. Look at verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, and that would be this, right? All Scripture, Old and New Testament, all Scripture, notice I love ESV here, is breathed out. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. That means it's beneficial, it is helpful, it is good. All right. So all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, many of you have already got the memory verses for this week pretty much down. And that's good. But think about those memory verses for a moment. Paul says to Timothy, who's struggling, who's facing false teachers in the church there in Ephesus. And Paul is saying, hey, avoid the false teachers. Deal, confront with the false teaching and the heretics and the heresies that are being espoused in this church. But listen to me, Timothy, it'd be like him grabbing him by the shirt collar or his coat or his outer garment or whatever it would be, right? And he's saying, son, listen to me. All of the Scripture is breathed out by God. It's not man-made. This book is unique. The Bible is different than any other piece of literature in all of human history. It is given to us directly from God. It is breathed out by God through the human writer over a period of 1,500 years, right? 40 different human writers, 3 languages, and 1 ultimate story. He's saying, Timothy, don't forsake the Holy Scripture. It's all breathed out by God. And it's good for you, and it's good for them. Even though they don't realize it, it is truth, and therefore it is God's truth, and it is good for them. It is good for teaching. That's what's right. Reproof, that's what's wrong. It's good for correction. That's how to get right. And then there's training in righteousness. That's how to stay right. So the Bible there teaches us what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, how to stay right. And in doing that, the man of God here, specifically that's pastors and church leaders, but applied to all Christians in this context as well, so that we may be complete, that means lacking nothing, equipped for every good work. You see, here's pillar number one. Pillar number one is we proclaim the authority of God's Word without apology. And this pillar number one is important because we proclaim. The pastors who preach in this pulpit, we are to proclaim this truth. Community group teachers are to proclaim this truth through every lesson and every Bible study that they do. Every missions worker on Wednesday night, every youth worker on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights needs to make sure we are proclaiming the authority of God's Word without apology. We are all under the authority of the Word of God. And there are 2 big ways the world looks at this, right? You're either under or you're over. And if you're over God's Word, then you're saying you're over God, which is the problem with the world to begin with. Christians, we are under the authority of God's Word. I mean, the thought for the day is God wrote a book. Have you read it? Do you read it? If it is really the inspired or literally the breathed out Word of God for us, are you taking that seriously as you ought to take it seriously? I mean, every word is breathed out by God. God says, hey, I wrote a book, read it. Now, the question that I came up to ask you is, you know, do you believe the Bible? Why? Even better, why do you believe the Bible? Now, we're not going to wait for everyone in here today to answer that question, but I do want you to ponder and think about that question. Why do you believe the Bible? You may say, Pastor Jay, you know, I really don't. I mean, there's just some spots in there, and, you know, I just can't get it, and I can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense. Seems antiquated, seems old, seems old-timey, old-fashioned. It seems out of place. It's not relevant to me. Those are answers. But then there are many others in this room who would say, well, you know, Pastor, I do believe the Bible, but, you know, honestly, I believe it because pastors in my lifetime have told me that it's the Word of God. But I've never really thought through it for myself. I just may I lovingly say that's a mistake. And may I lovingly say, too, that the generation that we're, the younger generations that we're trying to reach today, they don't think that way. They want to know what they believe, why they believe it, and then they can explain it to somebody else. Now, 60 years ago when I was born, or 50 years ago, maybe when you were born, or 45 years ago when you were born, or 70 years ago when you were born, or 80-some years ago when you were born, it was just a different world. Now, it's still sinful, but the overall attitude toward just outright authority was way different today. We have been sowed with seeds of skepticism for a long time through our schools, through the music, through the writings of the day. And so now, just because somebody says something, they don't take it to heart. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, because there have been many in the church over the last decades that just go to church, sit on the pew, and, you know, they sign the card, you know, they've been baptized, raised a hand, waved a hand, they put money in the offering boxes and plates as we used to do, but they haven't thought through these things. It is very crucial that we have an army of thinking Christians today. We need an army of thinking Christians, and it comes back to the authority of the Word of God, and we are to proclaim it, speaking the truth in love without apology. I have a quote from Dr. Vody Balcom in his book, The Ever-Loving Truth, when he answers this question. In fact, he has a great sermon on YouTube, by the way, that, again, I highly recommend you find this maybe this afternoon or tomorrow during your commutes this week and listen to it, Why I Choose to Believe the Bible. Why I Choose to Believe the Bible is the name of the sermon on YouTube. But Dr. Vody Balcom says this concerning believing the Bible. He says, the Bible is a reliable collection. And you'll see it on the screen. It'd be a great screenshot right there. If you want to take pictures, that would be very appropriate. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses that record supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claimed that their writings are divine in origin, or divine rather than human in origin. That's just a phenomenal quote to think about and reflect upon as to why we believe this book. Why don't we ever preach in the Book of Mormon? Why don't we preach in the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witnesses version of Scripture, which is doctored up? Why do we not use other writings from Far Eastern religions and worldly secular sources? Why don't we do that? It's because there's only one book God has breathed out. That comes across as harsh, but it's the truth. And the world is on fire, if you will, and it's only Jesus that rescues us from the fire of God's wrath. And so we stand firmly upon the truth of God's Word. Now, it may become illegal to preach these types of messages, as we listen Wednesday night from West Lafayette, Indiana, in the United States of America, how their ordinance 3121, if voted on February 7th, it would be illegal in Indiana, in the United States of America, to preach biblical manhood and womanhood, to speak about conversion and these types of things. That becomes illegal in that municipality. It's also where what was Purdue University, I think Jason was saying, is located in West Lafayette, Indiana. We want to stand firm the church triumphant and militant in the right sense of both of those words. And so the Apostle Paul charges Timothy then to preach the word that God breathed out. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul goes right on. Remember, there were no chapter divisions when Paul wrote it. So he said, hey, Timothy, son, listen, don't sink down in the abyss of false teaching. All scripture, all of it, son, is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God, including you, may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then in the next breath, he says, I charge you, Timothy. He's like, I charge you, son. It's like his dying words to his son in the faith who's carrying on the torch for him. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, son, when people will not endure sound or healthy teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul says, preach the word. I charge you in the presence of God. Every preacher, every teacher, we have an audience. If nobody else paying attention, everybody falling asleep, everybody just ignoring what you're saying when you preach or teach, listen, God the Father and Jesus Christ are listening in, and it's important what we say in their name. It is important. And so we see, pillar number one, we proclaim the authority of God's word without apology. Preach the word. I'll say this, as preaching goes, the church goes. As preaching goes, the church goes. The greatest hope for our nation today is not the government. It's the people preaching Jesus Christ faithfully and proclaiming the word of God and taking it seriously. That song that we have sung a number of times this month, in particular, I Speak Jesus. The theme of our series, We Speak Jesus. You see, you're the answer for the lostness at Cottage Hill Christian Academy. You're the answer for the lostness at Faith Academy. You're the answer for the lostness in Sims Middle School, in MGM High School, and at USA Campus, and UMobile Campus, or at Auburn Campus. You are the remedy for the spiritual darkness and the lostness at St. Paul's. It's you are to go in as young men and women being trained and equipped by the pastor teachers in the church and your parents in particular, so that when others are wavering on moral issues and sexual ethics issues and theological issues, and they're all, by the way, theological issues, you do not blow in the wind being carried off with every little cunning new development that comes down the road. There are plenty of so-called new things, which are really just recirculated old things, old false teachings, old heresies that come back again and again being repackaged and resold as new things, which makes them appealing. But young people, listen to me. As your pastor for preaching and vision, my heart is, hey, you're going to be strong in Christ Jesus. You're not going to go the way of evil and sin in your school or on your job or in your neighborhood or at Got Air or whatever that place is called. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, but you see others choosing wrongly and you know, that's not right. I'm not doing that. We've got to stand strong without apology on the truth of the Word of God. There is no institution on the earth more powerful than the Church of Jesus Christ. And we all should have said amen to that. But you know, honestly, I don't think we believe it. You know, the Pentagon's more powerful. Washington, the White House is more powerful. The Kremlin's more powerful. But I will say that on the authority of God's word, there is no more powerful institution on the earth than the Church of Jesus Christ, and the second would be the family. And we need to live accordingly. So therefore, we proclaim the authority of God's word without apology. Pillar number two. We lift high the name of Jesus through worship. If you'll go back to John chapter 4 now. Gospel of John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter 4. And there are hundreds and hundreds of verses I could have chosen. I'm going to use John 4, 23 and 24. John 4, 23 and 24. Jesus' encounter with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well there. In the midst of that discussion, in John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." We must worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, we see in the text, the Father is seeking worshipers to worship Him. That's good news, because Romans 3:11 says, ain't none of us looking for Him. Just like when Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, they weren't looking for God. In fact, when the Lord came looking, what'd they do? They played hide and seek. They hid, right? And so, but Jesus says, hey, my Father, he's seeking after worshipers to worship Him in spirit and truth. And in spirit, I'm helped by John Piper on this, and some of and D.A. Carson, their commentaries on this. You know, spirit talks about passionate affection. Do you have passionate affection for God, for the Father, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you worship God with a passionate affection? That does not mean you have to stand and raise your hand. Some of you do. And that is fine and beautiful and wonderful as the Spirit of God prompts your heart to do that. Some people do that just for show. Some people come to the place of prayer at the front just for show. They're not responding to the message of God's grace through His Word. They're just coming down so their friends will think, hey, I'm spiritual, or I'm cool, or I'm just trying something out different. Listen, no, this is a serious place. You see, far too long we have amused ourselves, even in church. We heard in family worship last night, we're amusing ourselves to death. We get home and we get a Netflix series going, and we got our little favorite shows. And hey, we got some favorite shows. But Dr. Strahan was saying in this little Q&A thing that we were listening to as a family last night, you know, I mean, a lot of church-going folks go home, they never read their Bible, they never read another book that helps them better understand the Bible. They're not learning to think Christianly about the things going on in their home or the world. And that's where we're failing. You can't get enough in an hour and a half on Sunday morning. If that's all you're getting, you're greatly malnourished spiritually. Amen? It's voted to say amen or ouch. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I'm telling you, we must do better in family worship and in bringing the Word in our homes. As imperfectly as that will be, as inconsistently as that's going to be, as frustrating as that's going to be, take a stand and let's do that. Let's learn better from one another ways of doing that. But here, Jesus says, hey, we're to worship the Father with passionate affection. And He says, truth. And truth is rock solid doctrine about God. That's what truth is. It is rock solid truth about God. It's not the God of our own imagination. It is the God of revelation who has revealed Himself in creation, yes, in the human conscience, yes, in the flow of human history, yes, but specifically in the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible. And so as we gather to worship, there are going to be days when you're just so heavy and brokenhearted about a son or a daughter or a family member or a friend or just a lost person that you're praying for and sharing the gospel with, that you're not going to be jumping over the tops of the chairs and, you know, waving hankies and doing all those things. You can worship in ashes if you need to. There are just some mornings when we come in and we are so heavy laden with burdens that we're not up to doing spiritual jumping jacks today during the worship. It's why that not all music in Crawford Baptist Church is always peppy and that kind of thing, a foot padding type of song and all of that. Because that's not our lives. And our joy is in Christ, not in our circumstances. Now, that's hard for all of us to understand and fathom and process, but it's the truth. It's the truth. But you see, we are to worship God in spirit. That's with some passionate affection. And I'm not asking you to wave a hanky and slobber at the mouth and foam at the mouth and jump chairs and if we had chandeliers, swing on them. I'm not asking you to come run up here and fall down and just do circles on the ground. I'm not asking you to do that stuff. That's ridiculous. But I am asking you to worship God in spirit. That is passionate affection. And we worship Him in the way He's revealed Himself. That is rock solid doctrine about God. So do you have a passionate affection for God? Do you love and believe rock solid doctrine about God? We need both. We need to worship in spirit and based upon the truth. True theology brings light to the mind and heat to the heart. True theology brings light, illumination, understanding to your mind, and then heat to the heart. I remember John Newton wrote, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see." What a great testimony from John Newton. You see, some people need to tell their heart, to tell their face, wake up and smell the salvation. Amen. I mean, we have much in the midst of our burdens and our losses and our frustrations and burying loved ones and sick loved ones struggling for their lives and their families that are struggling to hold together and to disciple children and praying for the straying father to come home or for the straying mother to come home. Praying for God to touch them and grant them repentance so they get back where they need to be. As a follower of Christ, I tell you, if you really get the gospel, if you come in this place, and Pastor Glad talking about wet wood, and I'm glad he did that because, you know, hey, a lot of Sundays we all got some wet wood. Hey, if I felt like being here to worship and preach the Word of God every time I showed up, I wouldn't be here near as much. Selah on that, marinate on that. You know, I remember hearing this. Stephen Olford said this, you know, pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray until you feel like it. Just applying that principle to that statement I just made. But if you really get the gospel, you cannot be bored or stale in worship. If you get the essence of the gospel, it will change you. And so we want to be a church on fire for Christ. We want to lift high the name of Jesus through when we gather for corporate worship. And in a sense, as a Christian, you are the worship. You washing dishes at home, divine services held here 3 times daily. Now, that's an old sign. Most folks don't do that anymore. You could just tape it over your dishwasher. But, I mean, that's an old sign. I remember my Mima had it over her sink there in Leakesville, North Carolina. Divine services held here 3 times daily. In other words, she fed her family 3 times. That's right. She fed them breakfast, lunch. Papa came home from the shoe shop at lunch. He ate, and then he walked back to the shoe shop. Breakfast, lunch, supper. Your life is an act of worship as well, but there's something special when we gather and Brother Kenneth leads us musically and these musicians help us worship our awesome God. So number one, we proclaim the authority of God's Word without apology. Number two, we lift high the name of Jesus through worship. Number three this morning, pillar number three, The foundation is Christ. Pillar 1, 2. Now pillar 3 is we believe firmly in the power of prayer. This time if you go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be here for pretty much the rest of the sermon. If you can get to Ephesians, that'll be great. Remember, Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul talking about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And hey, if you think the world is neutral toward us, just read Ephesians. There's going to be a battle in marriage. There's going to be a battle in parenting. There's going to be a battle on your job. And then Paul gets to the underlying reason for all those battles and all those fears of your life, and it's spiritual warfare. Very coherent, logical argument that Paul lays out in Ephesians. And you see that in 5 and 6 in particular, Ephesians 6:18. Paul says, after going through the different pieces of armor, he says, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so one of our pillars here is not only do we proclaim the authority of God's word without apology, we stand on Scripture, and we want to lift high the name of Jesus through worship. But number three, we believe firmly in the power of prayer. We believe firmly in the power of prayer. We're to be passionate to pray. This verse 18 says, at all times. Do you see it? Praying at all times. And that means that you don't suspend life and just sit around like a monk in a monastery somewhere in Southeast Asia and chant and hum and pray and do those things. No. But it means that we go through life with a spirit of prayer. When I'm facing a challenge at school and the teacher puts a quiz on my desk, or I go to the computer to take the quiz or the test, I'm going to say, Father, please help me recall what I've studied. When someone is asking me a question as I'm teaching in the classroom, I'll be silently shooting a little arrow of prayer. Father, please help me understand this question and have an answer that you would have me give this student. Because I don't have all the answers, but I'm praying for help. And so what Paul is saying here is, hey, all of life for the Christian, in essence, is looking to God because we're totally dependent upon Him. Prayer is not a suggestion for the Christian life. Prayer is the Christian life. We are, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Robert Mary McShane, great Christian preacher, said this, no person can be a child of God without living in secret prayer. We need those daily secret personal prayers, we could call it. And no community of Christians can be in a healthy condition without unity in prayer. So he mentions two things. Do you see it? He's talking about our personal prayer lives. He's also talking about the sweet hour of prayer, the O-U-R of prayer, as we come together. Listen to that last part of the quote again. He says, no community of Christians can be in a healthy condition without unity in prayer. You see, prayer is devotion. Prayer is being in relationship with God, loving God, glorifying God, examining the glory and the beauty and the splendor and the majesty, a word we've heard sung today and we've sung today, majesty. That's devotion. Prayer is devotion, loving God. Prayer expresses our devotion. Prayer expresses our dependence. I mean, the essence of prayer is, God, I can't do this, but you can. That's the essence of prayer. I can't do it, but Lord, I know you can. Prayer also deepens our intimacy with God. It's not just about asking for healing or for a new car or for a guy who would want to court me biblically. Now, hey, pray for all those things. For crying out loud, dads, be praying for a young man to come a-calling, wanting to engage in a serious biblical relationship, right, with your daughter. And fathers of sons and mothers of sons, pray that, hey, we prepare this young man to be a godly young man who then is going to meet this person, and we want to pursue that relationship. We're to be fruitful and multiply, and the only way that's going to happen in a way that honors and glorifies God is for the young man. And remember, men, you are the initiators. You are to be the initiators. You're going to be the prophet, the priest, the provider, the protector in your home. I'll throw in initiator. You initiate that. But that's another sermon for another day. But we're talking about believing firmly in the power of prayer. But listen, pray for our children. They face challenges we could not have dreamed of facing today. The language they hear. Many of you have done all you can to keep them from talking dirty, from cursing, as we used to call it. And all out at school, even Christian school campuses, they're hearing filthy, vulgar language. Videos being pulled up on phones throughout the day. They have access. They're being impacted. Miss Miranda said it Wednesday. They're being just inundated with all of this kind of stuff 24/7. Social media, telephones, tablets, computers, people at school. Without proper training, we're raising a generation of unbridled animals rather than human beings treating the image of God. The law and the gospel are important. We're talking about in the college community group this morning how important the law is as we try to love our neighbor who expresses LGBTQ plus desires, same-sex attraction desires. That's what we're talking about in our college community group. We want to invite you to come be a part of that if you're in that age group. But you see, you need the law and the gospel. Ernie Reisinger has a book called The Law and the Gospel. Founders Press has republished it recently. It's a great, important help to understand. The gospel won't make sense apart from the law. And if all you got is the law, then you're hopelessly condemned. So we need the law and the gospel together. And so prayer expresses our devotion. Prayer expresses our dependence upon God. Prayer deepens our intimacy with God. Prayer strengthens our relationship with God. And then, again, I have a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. What a word. If locusts are devouring your home, your family, this church, what do we need? We need to pray. Mary Grace loves this song called Battle Belongs. Is that the name of it? And of course, it talks about getting on your knees and raising your hands and that the battle is yours, oh God. And again, that song is precious to my children. It might not be the way that I would arrange it or sing it or play it if it were me, but it speaks to them. And I'm grateful when they say, Dad, would you turn on K-Love? Would you turn it up? Because a lot of what they'll get there has some theology in it. Some doesn't. But again, they're pressing into God when they do that. And so we need to... We need to pray. Battle belongs. Check out the song. It's God fighting the battles as we pray. You see, that's what the song is talking about. And then Paul says an interesting little thing here in verse 18. He says again, praying at all times. And he says, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So we're not to be praying dry, routine, stale prayers. Hard stop. It seemed like when I try to have that God time you always talking about, I have dry, routine, stale prayers. I pray for my family. I pray for my children. I pray for my pastors and my church and my workplace. And it's the exact same thing every day. Well, hey, even then, it doesn't have to be dry, stale. It may be consistent. I'm going to tell you, all those things need prayer every day. You ever thought about it? Again, there's not a family in here that doesn't need praying for. There's no church on the planet that doesn't need praying for. Right? So again, I know this can be, and I feel your pain, and I'm there with you. There are times when God feels a million miles away, but I know that if I'm going to have intimacy with God, I have to work on that relationship. I need to be in the Word. I need to be in prayer. I need to have Christian music. I need my accountability partners from others in my life. So do you. In the center there will be prayer. We pray with all prayer and supplication. You know, prayer indicates earnestness and seriousness about calling out to God. Supplication, we're asking God to supply the things we need. And we're to keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. One of the things, we have a night of prayer coming up February 23rd, 6:30. We're calling it the night of worship and prayer. We're going to have some coordinated music and singing. And we're going to have praying on Wednesday night, February 23rd, right before our Las Vegas team leaves to go to Las Vegas on mission, to serve with Pastor Ryan out there at Image Church. And we're just having a night of all call to come, and we're going to pray, and we're going to sing and worship through song, and that, no preaching. We're going to have music and crying out to God in prayer in music, and we're going to have other prayer focuses that night as well. We're going to have our RAs, GAs, everybody from that rank and level come on in here on February 23rd, and we're going to do, because why? One reason is because we believe firmly in the power of prayer. And I'm going to tell you, the little ones need to see it and engage in it. Number four, and I'll be done. I got to hurry this one. But we'll pick this one up more next week anyway. Number four, pillar number four, we share the good news of Jesus with boldness. This is Ephesians 6:19. So Paul just talks about praying, keeping alert in prayer with all perseverance. Verse 19, and also for me. In other words, pray for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. But right now, we're not in prison for speaking the gospel like Paul was. And what's he doing? Lord, get me out of here. Now, he may have prayed that. It's just not in Scripture. But what is in Scripture is he's praying for the boldness to be true to Scripture and to keep proclaiming the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the secret of the early church in Acts was Holy Spirit boldness. And boldness is not man-made. Boldness is given by God. It's God-given. It's the Holy Spirit in you who produces boldness in you. Some people say, like, maybe it's the membership class, maybe it's in the lobby. Or, well, what is the evangelism strategy of Crawford Baptist Church? Y'all have a Monday night visitation? You have Sunday afternoon visitation? My thought is, hey, we have everyday visitation. In other words, what is our evangelism strategy? You. It's me. It's us. It's us being equipped, as we saw in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. It's us being equipped and armed with the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we go, and as we live life at school, with teammates, with friends, we speak Jesus. We speak the good news of the gospel. That's pillar number four. We share the good news of Jesus with others. That is what we are called as the church to do. As John MacArthur said in his sermon last Sunday, when we had Biblical Sexuality Sunday, as we did here at Crawford as well, we had what Jesus on sexuality last week, Biblical Sexuality. It was the title of the message, Jesus on Biblical Sexuality. Dr. MacArthur preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It's a very compassionate message, by the way. It's been taken from YouTube now and decried as being hate speech, but it's still available at Grace to You, I'm sure. A message we need to hear. But Dr. MacArthur said, you know, one of the primary purposes of the church is conversion. But apart from conversion, there's no salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not talking about, as we talked about Wednesday night, with electric shock and sleep deprivation. And, you know, we heard in community group this morning about someone having to write through the Levitical scriptures about certain sins over and over and over while they were in a conversion therapy camp. That's not Christian. That's not who we are. That's not what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be about at all. But what is our strategy? It is you being filled with the Spirit of Christ and the truth about Christ and telling that to others as you encounter them. You know, Max Stiles has a great little book called Evangelism in the Nine Mark series of little books. What is evangelism? Evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. It is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade that person to believe, of course, in Christ and turn from their sins. And so our strategy is a simple one. Our strategy is for you and me to live out the Christian life daily with passion and God-given boldness to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, which if you attend here frequently, regularly, or a member, you should know the gospel of Jesus Christ by now. We put it on the screen every Sunday. The gospel is the what? The good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, and he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against our sin on the cross, and then to show his power over sin by resurrecting Jesus from the dead, so that everyone who turns from their sin, repentance, and believes in Christ, faith, will be reconciled to God forever. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if and God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We should expect lawlessness in the world, but not lawlessness in the church. And so when you bring the law of God and the gospel of Christ together, we have the remedy for our sin problem. And this church, praise the Lord for her, will be, what, 65 this February. May she be strong for future years as we proclaim the authority of God's word without apology, as we lift high the name of Jesus through worship, as we believe firmly in the power of prayer, and as we share the good news of Jesus with others. We're building on the foundation that has been laid by those gone before us with gold, silver, and precious stones. You see, the big idea, which I think I forgot to officially give you, it's in the introductory notes. The big idea is that we are to build on the foundation of the church. And there it is. By proclaiming the authority of God's word without apology, lifting high the name of Jesus in worship, believing firmly in the power of prayer, and sharing the good news of Jesus with boldness. With boldness. This is who we are as a people. If you're looking for a church that's going to identify with Christ and the Word of God, this is a good one. Would you bow with me and let's pray. Father, would you